Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right, good evening, everybody. It is another edition of the Super Dave Show. It must be 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. All righty, got a show for you today. We are not, just an announcement quickly, we will not be doing the show on Right to Work. That has been moved to Friday, and that's with Kevin Harnett. He's a union guy, but he's not the typical union guy. Maybe I should have got the typical one so we can discuss some things. Kevin's a good guy. He just doesn't believe Right to Work is something that should be done. And so I hope a lot of you guys join me in on that one. All right, you're listening to Super Dave's show. We're doing an hour show every night this week. We got some really huge news that some of it I can tell you and other stuff I can't tell you. But first thing I want to do is give out the number to call if you'd like to be part of the show. It's 323-784-9620. One more time, 323-784-9620. Or you can Skype us. And when it kind of happens, I hope I know how to answer it. I think I know. So anyway, give us a call if you'd like to be part of the show. Some of the other news, by the way, tomorrow we're going to have Mr. Paul Kirtman on. I think a lot of you people know who he is. If you know me, you know Paul Kirtman. And I'm really looking forward to that. I hope a lot of people join us on that one. We should join us every night. Come on. Every night. I mean, it's either Riley or Get the Truth for me. Because O'Reilly, he's a kiss-ass like you wouldn't believe. But anyway, we won't talk about that anymore. Alrighty, but listen to Paul Kirtman tomorrow. He's going to be on for the hour. And please, don't be afraid to call. We'll take the calls when Paul's on, and if you got any questions, please. Hey, maybe we could all talk him into running for senator. I'm sure he'll love that. He'd be a heck of a lot better selection than the ones that are out there right now talking about it. So, hey, help me out, will you? Help me out. And part of the big news we've talked about for a couple of days here is on April 2nd, which is a Saturday, we will be hosting a tea party in the city of Springfield. It's going to be a Cartoons Bar and Restaurant, which is approximately Sunshine and Glenstone, for those of you that know the area. And for those of you that don't know the area, do yourself a favor. Go to the website, superdaveshow.com. And I'm still working on the website, so don't give me too much grief about it. There's a lot of stuff I got to do here. I'm crying here. How's that? Anyway, a lot of stuff you got to do here, but it's not just, I'm producing a show. I'm doing all kinds of stuff. So the thing to know is go to superdaveshow.com. There's a map there. It tells you how to get there. We are expecting a lot of people. So we've made arrangements. We are going at the place. They have great food, by the way, and they have lots of drink, of course. If it rains, everything will be inside, or if the weather is not too good. Otherwise, it's going to be a combination inside and outside. They have a patio out there, and if you'd like to eat at the same time or whatever, you can go on the patio as we're doing our thing. My friend Tom will be one of the speakers. At least I think he's going to. We are not the typical Tea Party wusses that kiss up the Republican Party and do whatever they want. We are the people who are really standing up for what most of us believe in and not the fake ones. So, and of course, Paul Kirtman will be there, and then we'll have some Brandt's Entertainment, and that'll consist of the Hughes Brothers, fabulous, fabulous family group. By the way, they have like 30 kids between five brothers, and one of them doesn't even have any kids. So maybe they're Muslims. Oh, don't tell them that. You know, because I don't know if anybody's ever seen this before. Muslim families, like average, I don't know if it's the United States, but they average like 11 kids or something like that per family. You think they don't want to take over this country? So between the Muslims and the Mexicans, we're SOL, people. We better start getting together a whole lot more, because I think the average family in the United States is like 2.1 kids or something like that. And I don't even know if it's that many anymore, but it's not good. And it's better than it is in some countries, though. I think France, where I don't understand what their deal is, I think theirs is like 1.7 kids for every two people, which is amazing, because I was watching something yesterday, and those people are actually, they have a law that says everyone has to have at least 5 weeks vacation. And that's a law, mind you. That's a law. And then if you if you're a normal person there, it's eight weeks vacation. So they get two. Plus, they don't even work 40 hours. The law also says that they don't have to work. They cannot make people work more than 35 hours a week. Why don't we just all sit back on our butt and do nothing and just take checks? Like, well, come to think of it, a lot of people are here. You know, a lot of people are. God, I'm telling you. How amazing. You know, we got to do something here to keep government off our backs, that's for sure. You know, but, you know, the thing about the Tea Party, by the way, just so I can bring it up, it's not just about the debt and all that stuff. We're actually doing something with Live Free Springfield, and that's when government thinks that they're going to come in and tell property owners that they can or cannot smoke. And let me clarify, I don't smoke. I think smoking is stupid. But see, in this great country of ours, you're actually allowed to do stupid things. And, you know, if you're dumb enough to put a cigarette in your mouth, that's fine. You know, that's your business. Just don't make it my business. But the difference between what some of the property rights thieves compared to who I am, I believe strongly in property rights, is that if it's my bar and all that stuff, then I obviously am not about to I'm looking at the phone here, Mr. Matt. Matt, I'm on the air. If you want to join me, 323. You got the number. I can't talk to you right now because I got headphones on and all that stuff. So just want to let you know, if you want to talk, do that. 323-784-9620. Where in the heck was I? That's where it's nice to have a producer, and they can tell you what else is going on here. Anyway, if you want to, what was that? Where was I? Ah, I hate this. See, I got too many chores here. And by the way, thank God for our legislature up there. They're doing all those really, really important things. And one of them, and I was looking, I think it was a news leader today, some moron from Kimberling City is going to help us. This is a Republican, mind you. This is a Republican. And he's going to push the seatbelt law to make sure that we're all safe and sound and cozy in our seats, because he wants to make sure nobody gets hurt. So he's going to do that. So when, you know, Republicans tell you that they're out there to help to save our freedoms, folks, that's ridiculous. No one, I'm sorry, I'm an ex-cop too. I have a real issue with the state telling me I have to wear a seatbelt. Is it for my safety? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think if you don't wear it, you're stupid. But I'm entitled to be stupid. I don't need somebody. I don't need the state to tell me not to do things. I think it's ridiculous. Hey, I promise you I won't kill anybody. I promise I'm not going to steal your money. But darn it, if I get my car, stay out of it. But now this guy, right now, if you have if you are being stopped for another violation like speeding, then they can give you a ticket for not having a seatbelt. However, now they're trying to change it. They do this every year, by the way. No, but now they're trying to change it. And of course, this is my favorite quote. I love this. I love this. You ready for this? Highway Patrol Colonel Ron Rep Blog, or whatever his name is, told the committee that the bill would bring the state's seatbelt usage rate up to the national average of 85%. Here's his quote. I can't think of any other bill would be in front of you this year that would save that many lives. Thank you. Thank you so much for saving my life. But did you ever notice? Did you ever notice, though, that if you save, they want to save, if they're going to give us a ticket if we don't do it, so what's that going to do for me? In fact, I have something I was listening to earlier here. Ha, 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 you're funny. Yes, wear my seatbelt for my mother. Well, guess what? My mother's dead, so it doesn't make a difference. Ha, 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 ha. Everybody's a comedian out here. By the way, hey, you driven by the gas stations lately? What do you think of that? You get out there, and I was mentioning this yesterday. Every time we drive by, the price of gas goes up. What do you think of the price of gas goes up? Tell you what, we got a caller here. Let's go ahead and take them on here. All righty. Let me see. Who we got here? You're on the air, buddy. I think you're on the air. There, you're on the air now, right? I'm trying. Hold on one second here. I'm trying to do this. I thought I had this right. On the air. I know that's right. Well, I'm not hearing you. He's trying to call. Are you there now?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. There you go. I'm learning this thing. Yes, sir. Is this Teddy?
Man, all those buttons and levers and switches and everything gets confusing, don't it?
Oh, this is my buddy, Matt. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing so good. If I was doing any better, there'd be a law against it, and Obama would assign a czar to regulate it. How about
you? I got a question to ask you. What do you think of the seatbelt law I just talked about? You think that's insane?
I'm aware of seatbelts, but I don't think it ought to be a law. I think they ought to be available in a car. But I think it's part of the nanny state. However, I do believe in wearing seatbelts. So
I agree with you. Okay, I want to ask you a question. You know about the election. You don't have it in Republic. You live in Republic. So what do you think of the election we're having in April? And one of the ballot issues, actually there's a couple of them, but one of the ballot issues about forcing bar owners to not allow smoking.
Well, again, it's a private industry. If you own a bar and you want to allow smoking in it, I can go somewhere else. It's not the government's job to make every little namby-pamby feel-good group feel good.
And there's another one, by the way, too. I'm testing all these. The other one is somebody is trying to get a license to serve liquor at a theater here.
Well, in a theater, it's a lot easier to pass the drink on to somebody who's underage, so I'm kind of torn on that one.
Well, let me ask you, though. If they want it, they're going to get it, right?
That argument doesn't hold. That's like they say, well, if they're going to, you know, why not just allow everything? You know, there's reasons for the drinking age. I don't think it should be 21. I think it should be 18 if you're in the service. It always irked me that I could go overseas and get shot at and, you know, kill people if, you know, occasion demanded, but I couldn't get a beer.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Now, I
of
could
course.
Get it on base.
How about this?
Yeah.
How about the voting age? What do you think of the voting age? Do you think it should be 18 or 21?
I think 21, unless you're in the service.
I agree 100%. Unless you're actually doing something like service, 21. Because that's how, I mean, look, I don't care how Obama got elected. He got elected, you know, mostly legal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he went out there and found the idiots out of college, or in college, I should say, because they're still in college. I think if you're still living in mom and dad's house or living off their bucks, I think for sure you ought to be one of those people that aren't allowed to vote.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll go a step farther. I think if you're living on welfare or something like that, I don't think you should be allowed to vote then either.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that, but I'll have to think about that and get back to you on that one. But I do know this, 18, you're not fully cooked yet.
Oh, there's no doubt about
it. That's why the drinking age is 21, but then it ought to be the same for marriage and voting and everything else, because you're not fully cooked.
Yes, well, after you see the dumb things they do, you can tell right away that you're not fully cooked, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind tonight?
Nothing. I just got your text, and I figured I'd give you a call. You get an L.A. number, don't you? 323?
Well, I guess it is, yeah. I'm in L.A.,
yeah.
Didn't I tell you that? Didn't I tell you I moved? Oh, God, we got to get together more often.
Yeah, hey, you better give me some fish tacos, brother. Some fish tacos and carne asada burritos.
Yeah, and just by the way, I want you to know this. There is some really, really big news that's going to happen here soon. I'll have to tell you offline. I cannot say on air yet, but some really big news. We're getting very close to something that's fabulous, just fabulous. Mm-hmm. I think you have an idea, but yeah, we'll talk about it offline, you know, when we're not online. But
Hey,
by the way, I noticed something. I was looking at the headline here. I thought you might find it interesting. Tim Geithner, urged lawmakers on Wednesday to approve capital increases for global lending institutions and warned that failure to do so could harm U.S. influence abroad. So in other words, he says, hey, let's keep giving them money. If not, we'll give them more.
Yeah. Hey, if you can't trust Tim Geithner and the rest of the Obama administration, who can you trust?
We're in debt. Yeah, I mean, you're rich.
I'm a wealthy SUV-driving Republican.
How would you like that? You got one of your kids at the house and comes to you and says, hey, Dad, our neighbors need all kinds of money, and they'll really like us a whole lot more. I know you don't have any, but do you mind putting some on your credit card? What would you say to that?
I would say no. Yeah, I would say no.
Why not? I mean, you know, isn't that ridiculous when you get some of these things, though? It's crazy.
Yeah, it is, and it's typical liberal, I was going to say mindset, but they don't really think, you know, it's all emotion.
Yeah.
Now, liberalism is an emotional knee-jerk reaction to circumstances not based on any kind of contact with reality.
Oh, you mean a disease?
Yeah, it's a mental disease.
It is a mental disease.
To quote another radio guy.
Oh, yeah, that'd be Mr. Savage. You know,
it would be.
That would be Mr. Savage. That's right. I'm telling you, this news that's coming up here, I can't say. Hey, by the way, you heard about the Tea Party, didn't you?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we're having a Tea Party here. Everybody listen up. We're having a Tea Party on April 2nd at Cartoons. And we're going to be outside and inside. If the weather is terrible, then we're going to be inside. If the weather is good, we're going to be both.
Well, I'm going to be in Wichita, Kansas that weekend, but I'll be with you in spirit.
Ah, you actually going to Wichita instead of us? By the way, there's going to be a lot of people there. I've had a lot of people contact me, and actually a bunch from St. Louis. So if you come to St. Louis, hitch a ride. But we're going to do – oh, by the way, we're going to do it from 1 to 3 o'clock for those that are listening. That way it gives everybody from the other areas that are coming up here you know, a chance to get here. They don't have to get up at 6 in the morning.
Oh,
are you there?
Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't
just listening.
There.
I was paying attention. I was being good.
Well, I really do hope we can get that going because, you know, get as many people here as we can. The one thing I did know, in St. Louis, a lot of the people who had issues with me at first, because I was calling out their talk show host up there, and they just couldn't believe for the life of me that I would do something so vicious. And then they found out that she was not who she said she was. A lot of them did. Some of them still worship her. And so a lot of them have kind of hooked onto this train and said, you know what, I'm a real Tea Party person. We don't back people like Roy Blunt and some of the other phonies out there. You know, and it's been pretty cool. I've had some great discussions with some of those people who were sick to death of it, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got to turn the country around. There's no alternative. If we don't, there's no place left to run. You know, like Reagan said back in 64, there's no place else to go.
I agree. I agree totally. Let me see. Gas prices, somebody just said gas prices just Check rack prices tonight, 6 p.m. Unleaded, $2.93. So we had $3.54 for taxes and 3 cents. Yeah, just keep adding. In fact, let me see. Here you go. This is one that I got a little bit earlier. I see if you like this one, because frankly, those liberals, they know how to do things. Hold on 1 second. Listen to this for a second.
Well, you know, David, 1 month ago, this economic recovery was starting to look pretty durable, and American consumer confidence was the highest since the recession. Now because oil has gone up $15 a barrel and gas, as you pointed out, has gone up 30 cents a gallon, the economy looks a little more fragile. In fact, you can project that about $100 billion of commerce will vanish just on the price of oil alone. So this administration needs to do everything possible to keep the price of energy low, including maybe a temporary halting of the federal gas tax.
So, Neil, at least a temporary halting of the gas tax. Sounds good to me.
It sounds ridiculous to me. I don't think that it's any coincidence that we have the lowest tax on gasoline in the developed world. We also have the biggest
addiction to gas. But the fact that they're making a mistake over there doesn't mean that we have to repeat it here.
No, it's not a mistake. The fact is we have a tax system which punishes certain behavior and rewards other behavior. One of the bad things we do around here is we use lots and lots of oil. We drive around in Escalades. And what we can do is, you know, in Korea they pay $3. In Germany they pay $4 in taxes, just for tax.
Can you believe what I just heard?
No, I can't.
I mean, those are people who actually believe that if you add $2 and $3, that's going to help our economy in tax. Their only way of fixing things, Matt, is by taxes.
Yeah, well, that's because they suffer a rectocranial inversion. You know? What they're not going to understand is, how come the cost of everything I buy went up? The other day on the news, they were talking about gas prices, and they interviewed some airhead who said, well, we just have to ride our bikes more. Well, that ain't going to cut it when everything costs more because of the oil prices being so high and gas prices being so high. You know, everything gets there wherever there is. It gets there by truck or train.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, because they haven't figured out that, if gas costs you and me $5 a gallon, I think it's going to cost the same thing for the trucker. In fact, diesel fuel, which is mysteriously more expensive, that's going to be more expensive than $5. So add that to the price of what you're eating and what you're buying, everything.
Yeah. And, you know, really, diesel fuel should be less because it's earlier in the processing from the crude oil. That's just a ripoff to charge more for diesel.
I would like to know the answer to that, period. That makes no sense at all. I don't know about you, but some way or another, politics seems to get minor somewhere. Do they charge more for tax? Politics, you know, anytime the price is higher, I always think of politics. So do you think politics has much to do with the price of gas? I mean, as far as the price of diesel fuel?
Sure does. Both in the not allowing us to drill locally, you know, here in the States. I mean, we've got so much oil, we could be completely independent if the politicians would get out of the way and allow it. But they don't. And then you have taxation. Diesel fuel, if you get a barrel of crude oil and you refine it into gasoline, diesel fuel is about, I think, halfway, if I remember correctly, in the process.
Yes, you're right.
And
if it's
halfway in the process, diesel fuel, and I can remember when diesel fuel cost about half of what a gallon of gas cost. Gas, when Linda and I got married, gas was like about 22 cents a gallon, and diesel fuel was about, 15.
Yeah, it was always cheaper, and then for some reason a few years ago, it ended up being higher than gas, which, like you said, makes zero sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's what they do.
It's all pure politics. Or impure politics, I guess I should say.
Somebody just said traders are what control the price of fuel. Traders are betting on Obama right now. And I agree with them. I agree with what they're doing. You know, the
traitors.
Well, you're right, traitors.
You know, there are some people who will sell the country out to make a profit. And,
There's a guy that runs GE, and he's doing it, Jeffrey Imwalt.
Yeah.
He's doing it. you know, the whole administration is doing it, and I'm still trying to figure out where are these Republican politicians who should be jumping up and down, banging big time, saying, why are the prices so high? Why aren't we drilling? And they're up there talking about it. Well, by the time they're done, we're going to be paying $5 a gallon.
Yeah.
I can't afford $5 a gallon right now.
Yeah, well, they want us to be dependent upon them.
Well,
that's why they push the public transportation and the national health care. And
think about this.
Yeah,
public
Obama
is
a national socialist.
Well, yeah, you know, and public transportation means more government workers, and government workers want to, you know, and for some reason people can't figure out why I don't think it's okay for them to bargain collectively. Well, duh, they're in a monopoly. You don't let a monopoly bargain collectively. That's stupid, especially when the money's taken
from private. Yeah, in a private sector, the employees work for the employers and negotiate with them. But we're the employers, not the politicians they negotiate with.
Right. And so what people don't understand either, it's very easy for people to work for a union and then make sure they get themselves and all their families and friends to vote for a certain politician. And then when the guy gets there, you know, and a few politicians, as far as I go, they get up there and they go ahead, they make their deals and make sure that the government employees are very well taken care of.
Yep.
You know, you can't do that. You can't run a business like that. That would be like saying you got the owner of the company, which would be us. That'd be like saying that we have no voice. Right now, that's what it is. We have no voice virtually in what the government workers are making. They actually have more as much voice as we do. But
we're the ones paying them.
Yes, and we're the ones making less on average than they are. So nothing sounds good there, but – you know, I'll tell you what, this is exactly why. There's another headline here I found interesting today. It was called 82% of U.S. schools may be labeled failing.
82%?
82%. So, as I tell people all the time, do not think that your schools are all that wonderful and that stuff. And I don't know how many people do. They think it's great. Listener says government should be doing nothing except for repealing regulations. Man, we are on the same boat on that one. You know what the Republicans should have done when he went up there is to say not fix anything. The only thing they can fix is let's get rid of. That's what I want to see. And if you notice, I don't know if you didn't go any of the forums, did you, with the congressional forums? Everyone went up there and said, I'm going to get rid of the EPA. I'm going to get rid of the Department of Education. Well, right now, Vicky Hartzer's been there for 3 months. No, 2 months, I'm sorry. Billy Long's been there for 2 months, and I haven't heard a word from them. Not a word. The only thing they've done is they voted for the Patriot Act.
Huh.
Or did you like that?
No, I don't like the Patriot Act. I think it's like the Alien and Sedition Act that John Adams put in. You know, it's a violation of Americans' rights.
Well,
it does
you're
away
right.
With, you know, protection against unlawful search and seizure, due process, all kinds of things.
Oh, now here you go. Talking about schools, check out Missouri House Bill 628. It will repeal tenure for school teachers, which I am all for. Strong Republican. They're going to get something right occasionally. You know, now the state legislature isn't quite as bad, but they're still trying to push garbage. You know, it's like, come on, go up there and be a patriot and stop being a Democrat. You know, because there are some bills up there. I don't know who this is here. They're putting stuff up there, and they're right. You know, the repealing tenure for school teachers is very important. Nobody should have tenure. Do you think so?
No.
I had you
tenure. You know, if you're doing your job, you don't need it. If you're not doing your job, then you need it, and you shouldn't have it.
That's exactly right. You win the prize.
All right. What did I win?
A vacation for two to Branson, Missouri, and you can go see my buddies, the Hughes Brothers. How's that?
Oh, man, does life get any better than that?
We'll have to go there sometime. You know what? I wonder if anybody out there wants to go to Branson with us, and we'll go visit some shows. We'll go do some shows together. That could be fun.
Yeah.
Do you ever go to any shows down in Branson?
I've been to the Dixie Stampede a couple of times, and been to the – I'm not a big show person. I went to the Ride the Ducks, and I enjoyed that more than the show, but maybe I just haven't been to the right shows.
Yeah, I've been, right.
I have been to a couple of others, but I don't remember what they were.
Hey, I want to tell them one more thing here, and then I want to take a break. What are your thoughts on Sarah Palin?
From what I've seen of her, I like her a lot, and I think she would be an excellent. Again, I could, you know, I might be out of the loop and not know some of the things that that you know, but to the best of my knowledge, she'd be excellent.
You know,
so
you know what always.
You
know what always gets me is the fact that I like her for two major reasons. Well, three: the liberals, the press, and the GOP elite. None of them like her.
Hate her. Yep, I was going to say that. You were going to say, "Oh man, Matt, you are right on," and then you
I beat you to it. But
yep,
right
fact,
there,
you know, you can tell a lot about a person by who their enemies are, as well as by who their friends are.
Absolutely.
And the fact that the liberal elite, both in and out of the GOP, hate her tells me that she's good.
I agree. You know, and I the GOP elite and the press have told people this is what Sarah Palin is.
Mm.
And, you know, I go back to her record because, see, I think it's important we all know who we're voting for. And in Alaska, she's got a heck of a record, a good one. Can you say that about the people here in Missouri? I mean, and, you know, can they say that about Roy Blunt? Of course they can. You know, Roy Blunt, and this is going to irritate some of my listeners out there, but too bad. You know, he voted for cash for clunkers. You know, he voted for prescription pill welfare and the rest of it. Those are socialist programs. Sorry.
So you just keep letting facts get in the way.
I know. I hate it when I do that, don't you?
Oh, man, it's terrible letting facts get in the way of emotion. Hey, Dave, I'm going to have to run. But
that's okay.
Where are you? You've got an LA number, so I'm wondering, where are you, seriously?
No, I'm in my studio.
Here in Springfield.
In Springfield,
okay.
Yes. Yeah, I'm it's Blog Talk. It turns out pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sound pretty good?
Yeah.
Well, great. Great.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Great.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for calling, buddy. All righty.
Hey, thanks for chatting with me and say best, you know, give my best to your family.
Okay. All right. That was Mr. Matt. Mr. Matt knows more about the history of our country than probably 99% of the people out there. When we do finally get our goal that I can't speak much of yet, when we do finally get there, folks, I'm telling you right now, I want to have him on. The gentleman knows his history better than most people. In fact, I think he knows it a lot better than most of the history teachers. I've spoken to history teachers, and this is no offense to you history teachers because you're only regurgitating what you've been told. But frankly, I'm telling you right now, a lot of you people have no idea. Well, I shouldn't say no idea, but you're off on many of the history facts. And if you get someone like Matt around, he's going to tell you. I want to take a quick break, and I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Super Dave Show. All righty. I want to take a couple minutes here to explain to you what I've been doing for the past year. And, yes, this is a commercial break, and this means that you really need to pay attention because if I'm saying it, it must be right. How about that? Okay, I've been involved with H&H Industries, which is a lighting company. Now, I basically do industrial-type lighting, but we do some residential, too. We have those types of twisty-type things, and a lot of people have fluorescence in their home. But what the one thing I want to tell you more than anything that I learned in this business was that most of us have zero idea about lighting. You just buy lights and you think, hey, it's that bright and that's it. Wrong. You can put the brightest light up there you want, but the problem is it giving your eyes what it needs to see well? And the answer in 99% of the cases is absolutely not. So what we do is we go into businesses, like I said, some residential, and we redo their lighting. Now, in businesses, we go in there and we'll go do an audit, and we'll see what you're currently using. Then we'll come in later with a proposal, and we'll explain to you what kind of lighting is best for what you have, the least amount of lights with the most output. Now, when I say output, what is best for your eyes, and what's going to cost you the least amount in the future? And, you know, let's not kid anybody. At Lowe's and Home Depot and these places, their business is to sell you as many lights as possible. That's their business. I mean, when you walk in there, don't think you're going in there and you got someone that says, we want you to buy the least we can. They don't. We do. But the reason we do is, of course, our lighting is more expensive. However, it is much, much better than anything you buy at those other places. So give me a call off the air. My number is 417-770-6301, and we can discuss the kinds of things we can do. And, you just don't know what you're missing until you get some good light in your house. That's all we have in our house anymore. We've got the H&H lights, and I can't even think about putting any other kind of lights in my house, because when I walk around now, as I'm getting a little older, I can actually see better, much, much better. So let me give you that number again one more time. That's 417-770-6301. Give me a call and let's see what we can get worked out. I really think you'll be happy with it.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible, because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
All righty, we're back here at the Super Dave Show. I always need a break, but then thanks to my buddy Matt for calling in, and the people who are emailing me and give me some good ideas. It always comes out really well it helps out when they do help. I appreciate that. And want to repeat a couple things I started, because we are going to have the biggest tea party we've ever had in this area on April 2nd. Go to my website, superdaveshow.com. And there's some information there for you. If you would like to be more involved in it, please contact me off the air. You've got my number there, or you can call me, or you can just go ahead and email me at superdaveshow@gmail.com. So be a part of it. We need all the help we can get. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're expecting quite a few people, and I really hope you can be one of them. It really does make a difference when people are driving by and they see thousands of people there. It just says, hey, what's going on? I want to be a part of it. And frankly, right now, our country needs us, folks. Our country needs us. We cannot just sit back and do nothing like we have been doing. So I just hope to God that we get as many people there. It's a buddy of mine that owns a place there at Cartoons. Make sure you bring a few bucks and take care of them. They have great food, absolutely great food, and of course they have the adult beverages and all that stuff too, which I've been known to participate in a few times in my life. Isn't that awful? Yes, in the roaring town of Springfield, Missouri, yes, I've actually had some adult beverages. How's that? For some people in Springfield, that's horrible. And by the way, the entertainment is going to be the Hughes Brothers, good friends of mine. They do shows down in Branson. They're fabulous, and you got to see them. And by the way, they're good patriots. I think one or both of them want to say something up there. Jason was at the last tea party and helped me out. He had never been to a tea party before, and he was all excited about it. And he was like, actually, he was in awe. He just kind of got into it and said, this is cool. And but they've actually hosted some things at their at the theater in Branson, Missouri. And they did a constitutional convention. In fact, quickly, I'll tell you about that. I went to the convention. I had to leave there at 10 o'clock. It started at 8. And it was an all-day affair. And I'm thinking school. I'm thinking, oh, God, I'm not going to sit in this for all day. Well, guess what? I was there for 2 hours, and I was at the edge of my seat. And I was mad because I had already made arrangements to go to St. Louis that day. And when I went to, when I was leaving, it was like, I was trying to figure out some way I could stay, but I just couldn't do it. But it was fabulous. It was nothing like school. And they were actually teaching us things in history I had no idea about. And for me, that was just fascinating. So if you ever get the chance to do that, in fact, we plan on having a couple of those gentlemen on when we do our shows go on. Please pay attention to them because they're really, really interesting. I think what bothers me the most is how little we know about history and how much the people who have supposedly taught us history have actually lied to us. Now, some of them on purpose, by the way. Some of them not. And that's another thing about school, by the way. When you put your kids in those classrooms all day, just think about this. You have a teacher who, and you know this from going to school, you have a teacher there all day who affects your child. And it's great if it's a good teacher, but you're not there. You don't know. And if for any reason, if you for one reason think that your kid's going to tell you everything, you got another thing coming. It doesn't work that way. It's great to think that your kid's going to tell you everything. It doesn't work that way. So please don't even go there on that one. Just know that you've got to. It is harder to hear. Is that still going on right now? Can you hear me now? Sometimes you move your head away. Mouth away. I'm talking to somebody here. Can you hear me now? Is it better? Somebody say yes. Somebody say no. Well, if you're not saying no, then I'll assume it's okay then. Anyway, you know, if you ever go to constitutional deal, please go. It is really cool. It is really cool. Alrighty. Another thing. Let me see. I'm looking at a couple things we've got going here. It's kind of weird. Like I said the other day, it's like you're there and you're playing all kinds of instruments. You feel like one of those guys. I don't know how they do it. So, yes, what? Somebody says yes. Can you hear me better now? Is that it? Yes. Like I can't read minds here. Anyway. Okay. Let me see where I am here. Sorry about that. When you're doing about 100 things at once, and I'm not trying to make excuses here, that's the way it goes. When I was watching, let me go back to one other thing here. I got two screens, and I got to figure out which screen I need to go to right now. And if you have any suggestions, please let me know. I'm practicing, so when I do finally get back on broadcast radio, of course, then I've got like four people there and other things, and it's a whole lot easier. But I want to go back to the Geithner thing again. If we don't have any money, how in the world do you give other people money? Why are we doing that? And I want to tax something. A lot of the you always get the Republicans. They don't want to ever do anything with the defense industry. They just think keep giving that and that's it. And then the liberals that they got the social stuff. And I say why not do both of them? Because I went with my son on a trip. It's called the Tiger Cruise. I don't know if anybody out there knows what a Tiger Cruise is. But when I did Tiger Cruise, I got to be on the, can't remember the name. The second ship was Carl Vinson. I forget the name of the first one. My son will kill me for that. But whenever I was on there, I got to see the waste. And it is an enormous amount of waste. And granted, we all want our military to be in great condition, ready to go and all that. But if you ask, the one problem with government, and actually a lot of businesses too, you'll find this, they have a budget. And the way government really works is that if they get a budget of, let's just say, $700 billion, they have to spend every penny of it so the next year they can get more. But if they don't spend it, guess what happens? Then all of a sudden it's like, well, you're not going to get as much because you didn't need it last year. Well, that's garbage. But don't say that loud, please. Let's see, that's how it goes. You just can't please some people. But anyway, that's what you do. You cannot continue to do business that way. I mean, you know, if you don't need these things this year, then why can't you say, let's keep that for next year? But don't just take the money and say, well let's all buy new, let's buy everybody new furniture or something like that because we got this much money left, so let's spend it. And in fact, from what I understand, there are warehouses throughout the United States right now full of all kinds of stuff that the military has bought, and it's sitting there doing nothing. Because when they bought the new stuff, the old stuff had to go somewhere, and they put it in these warehouses, and the warehouses sit there, and that's it. You know, let's talk about one other thing, too, while I'm thinking about this. We are hugely in debt. Do you know who the biggest property owner is in the United States? Yes, our government, the United States. Why don't we just sell some property? How many of our legislators say, I got an idea. We own literally hundreds of millions of acres. Let's start selling some of the acreage. There's two reasons why. Number one, we need the money. And number two, when you own the property, you have to take care of it. Well, why do we own property that we don't have money to take care of? Do you do that at home? I mean, do you go out and buy all kinds of property and say, well, I'm just going to buy it. I'm not going to take care of it. No, you get in trouble for not taking care of it. You can't do that. You've got to take care of your property. So, you know, why aren't we selling that stuff? Is that a tough one? Is anybody else out there thinking I'm crazy on that one? Of course not. Everyone. Yeah. Why is it government does things so different? And I'm going to, every day, I think I'm going to get out here and I want to come up with some parodies on this about the people in our government who are talking, the budget. I'm going all over the place here for a reason. The budget, you got the Republicans worried about $60 billion, and then you have the Democrats worried about $6.5 billion when the budget itself is over $3 trillion. Do these people sound like they're really doing what they should be doing up there? Do they sound serious to you? I don't think so. If that's serious, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. By the way, let me give you the numbers in case you'd like to call. 323-784-9620. That's 323-784-9620. Or you can, I've never done this before, you can also, you can also Skype. Or actually, if you'd like to call, you can actually call. You don't even have to listen. If you're driving down the road, you can actually call. You can actually listen to the show that way. And another one I was learning about, too, and I have it on my website, Jason Kirkman, who is Paul Kirkman's brother, set me up with how you fix your Android up. And, you know, Android, of course, is a phone. And if you go to my website and link the key about the Android, the link with Android, it'll actually load up an app and you can actually listen to this show on your phone. So, and of course, tomorrow, I'm sure we're going to have a ton of people out there listening because of the fact that Paul Kirkman's going to be on. And I want to have people call up and encourage him to run for senator. How would you like that? In case you don't know who Paul Kirkman is, quickly, he's the guy who stood up at the town hall with Claire McCaskill. He stood up to her and he challenged her and said, I think you owe the American people an apology. And it was on YouTube. And from then on, he was a phenom on the Tea Party circuit. Unlike many in the Tea Party circuit, he didn't get up there because he wanted to be popular. He got up there because he meant it and he wanted to do something. Fancy that. How many people up there in D.C. or Jeff City or City Hall or the counties, how many are up there because they see that as a stepping stone to the next step? When I vote for somebody, the first thing I think about is the fact is, are they here so they get to the next step? Are they here because they gosh darn mean what they're talking about and what's in their gut? You know, and if you stop and listen to them. In fact, somebody told me a little story the other day. They saw somebody run for senator, and I'm not going to mention his name because I don't want to get out about who it may have been that told me this. But they said him walking, that he was walking through the crowd, and he's very personable. But the one thing that got her that she couldn't pass up was the fact that he would shake your hand, but look for the next hand. And I found that kind of fascinating because it's if you genuinely want to meet somebody and you want to talk to him, you don't shake their hand and look somewhere else because it's almost like he's looking for someone else who wants to shake his hand. No offense to any of those guys. I couldn't care less if you shook my hand or not. Just do a good job up in D.C. or Jeff City, and then we'll talk. But if you're just going to go ahead and, you know, think you're going to shake my hand, and what is this baby kissing stuff? I always wondered that. Who the heck cares if you kiss my baby? What's that going to do? I mean, what do you think? No, I was going to say something about Clinton. I guess I shouldn't do that. But it was like, hey, if you have... Nah, I won't go there. I won't go there. Okay. Somebody just said Paul Kurtman needs some seasoning. Let him spend a few terms as state rep before moving on. If we have the time. All federal legislators start out locally, so elect good, and you're absolutely right there, elect good candidates, because frankly, a lot of these people, seriously, and I understand this totally, you don't even pay attention to who's in a local election. And by the way, for the Tea Party, we will have all the candidates who are running in the April 5th election at the Tea Party, and that's your chance to meet these people. You can see the people that are going to represent you. And maybe right there you can look at, you could talk to them and see which ones actually think they're going to get to the next level. Maybe you could figure that out. Then come on the show on Monday. We'll do the Tea Party on Saturday, and then Monday I'll do a show. And then you could tell me who the people, honestly, you could tell me who the people you talked to were probably there just to see if they can get to the next level. And you know what? I understand kind of what you're talking about with Paul Kurtman needs some seasoning, but I don't know. Sometimes I think if you get too much seasoning, you turn out like half the other clowns are. So maybe with less seasoning, you know, you'd be better. You know, I do understand what you're talking about. I think the experience is important, but I'm going to kind of disagree with you on that because, you know, I just right now, well, I think a lot of it has to do with who's running for senator because in the state of Missouri, the some of you help me out here. I know we got Sarah Steelman. We got Ed Martin of St. Louis. Who else is running out there? Come on, somebody out there tell me. Who else is running out there? See, big mouths, you're going to tell me all those things. You're not going to help me out. See how that goes? Isn't Graves or something like that going to run? I know they were trying to get Joanne Emerson to run, but, you know, she's already entrenched over there in southeast Missouri, you know, and that's a woman, I'm not trying to be mean here, but, you know, her husband was a state rep. I mean, congressman, and he died. So she said, hey, I'll do this. I don't get that. I really don't get that. Why are they doing this? Yeah, I know. Emerson isn't running. I knew that. Graves said he's not running. Okay. I didn't know if Graves did, but out of any of the ones running right now, the person that's typing on the board, on the chat room here, is there anyone running yet who is really a true conservative? I'll bet you it's two letters. What do you think? Tell me. Oh, that's right. There's a delay here, so it'll take a second. But I'm saying right now, no one running at this particular time is a true conservative. We don't have any up there now. We got Roy Blunt up there, and he's a phony conservative. He sure as heck isn't a true conservative. So if, you know, I guess what I'm saying here, all right, you're saying Kurtman needs to do these things, and I understand kind of what you're saying, but let's go a step farther. What if your choice was between Paul Kurtman, Sarah Steelman, and Ed Martin? Who would you want up there? And let's not forget something. Ed Martin has never held political office, ever. And Sarah Steelman has, and she's already shown us that she sells out to Roy Blunt. And for those of you out there that aren't familiar with that, she was thinking about running in the last election, but decided not to. And a lot of people who thought she may be okay were very, very disappointing and wrote her off for the fact that she made a deal with the Blunt people and ended up following Blunt and actually helping campaigning for Blunt. And for her, that was a massive mistake for anybody that is sick and tired of the same old stuff. So for who's on the board here in the chat room, tell me, who else can it be if it's not going to be if you had your choice right now between Ed Martin, Sarah Steelman, and Paul Kirkman, who would you take? They're not going to say. See, it's easy to knock them, but it's too hard to say something. That's it. Oh, somebody said you should run. Get a life. I have no desire. I like behind the mic. It's a whole lot safer. Well, actually, not so safe because I had something really very dangerous happen to me because my true belief is something happened because of my mouth. I talk too much, I guess. I spoke too much. Okay. Well, now that being made legitimate, I don't think Paul can raise the money, but that still doesn't answer my question. It does. You know what? I think he could. I think Paul could get it because if it's between certain people, I think he could. I really do. That young man is something special. He is. And if you want to hear him, by the way, he'll be on tomorrow night. I'm telling you right now, you are really going to like this young man. He is really – if you haven't heard Paul, he's going to be one of the speakers at the Tea Party. And if you haven't heard Paul, you don't know what you're missing. This is someone I think that everyone needs to listen to. And then maybe you should be able to tell me. You can tell me if you think that this young man should be running next year. Because I'll tell you what, I know a lot of people in the Republican Party don't want him to because I don't know. He's not a sellout. At least he hasn't shown it to me. And we know that some of these other people are. Am I correct there who's on the chat room? Would you agree with that? Is Sarah Steelman a sellout? See, it's easy to knock the people you don't like. I mean, you know, but let's come up with something we could trust. And some of the people, by the way, just to go back to Missouri politics, thought that Chuck Pergerson should run. And I said right up front, absolutely not. Chuck doesn't have what it takes to run because he didn't show it last time. You've got to be someone vicious if you really and truly want to run against, if you want to run for Senate. You just can't. I mean, he did a decent campaign, but in my humble opinion, he could have done a whole lot more, and he just didn't do it. So we can't have people up to running who's just kind of going to go through the motions. And the only thing I will say about Ed Martin, and I won't get any more about him right now because I actually want to have him on the show. He is working hard to get there, but I still have to be convinced that he's going there for the right reason. Because my question to anybody that's running for public office right now is, why are you running? Because most of them aren't. All right, we're running down the end of our show here, it looks like. My clock is different on my internet than it is on my my show clock. So we'll be back tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Sarah will not get my vote. She is the reason we have Nixon. You're absolutely right. All right, we got 90 seconds left here, it sounds like. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 o'clock every day this week. We got tomorrow and Friday. Tomorrow we'll have Paul Kirkman on, and Friday we'll have Kevin Harned. We're going to talk about the right-to-work law. And actually, I'm going to ask Paul a little bit about it, too, see what his thoughts are on it, because Paul's in a situation right now where he has a lot of union workers where he is, and let's see what he says about it. So anyway, listen, next couple of days, if you have any questions about the Tea Party, go to my website, superdaveshow.com, or just contact me off the air. I guess we're about done for the day. We will be back tomorrow, and we will see you 7 o'clock. Thanks for listening.
You can't quit.
And why not? I got fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough...
I needed to ask.